Support this podcast at patreon.com/rednews.
Hello everybody, it's Red News Podcast 234 live from the dungeon. And I wish I'd 50 years ago decided to take up supporting Tiddlywinks, because I'm sure they don't get the fucking angst that we do. Absolutely gutted. Not surprised, but just shocked more than anything. For some reason, I still can't bring myself to utter the words of Eric O-U-T. I just can't. That stupidity, that's not a belief that it's going to turn around. I think Ineos, it was always what's their cut-off point? At what stage have they set targets? And I think it'll probably happen after Villa. There's an inevitability to all this. It's not a one-off. It's someone put... God, I don't want to list this, but just in the last 2 years, 7-0 defeat to Liverpool, 3-0 defeat to Liverpool, 6-3 City, 3-0 City, 3-0 Spurs, 2-0 Spurs, 4-0 Brentford, 3-0 Seville, 3-0 Bournemouth, 3-0 Newcastle, 4-0 Crystal Palace. That's a massive capitulation, as it tells us, like yesterday. We still don't know how to handle setbacks at all. Once we're shell-shocked and... there was a predictable inevitability to what Eric would say afterwards. But he's clutching at straws as big as I am. I think the reason why, I can't say it, is I've invested so much belief and hope and thinking this is the one we'll give them more time to. This is the one who, once he's given that time, can do stuff. But ultimately, I think it's a configuration that Spurs and so many teams not just fancy their chances, but are well set up, well structured. And in a very fog, you can sort of see what we want to do, but we just don't know how to do it and implement it. And a lot of it comes down to the players, but now we're in that thing of we can't blame other managers. You know, oh, it's them. There are a certain familiar faces, and God, as someone referred to Delo near me yesterday, as fucking hell, Delo as deed poll name change. You don't iron out these mistakes, and there's a bigger worry of... When I do believe the squad is in a better shape than he started with, but you're going to possibly have a new manager who goes, I don't fancy Xerxes, I certainly don't fancy Antony, he might not fancy Mount. I mean, God help us, I try to fancy him because try and see what he's done, but I don't see it very often. And indicative on a micro to big level is, what the fuck are you posting a photo of your... it's only a stitch. Where's blood and nails and Kevin Moore and fist pumps? I know you don't go, you know, it's gone those days, but bloody hell, I'm glad you're all right, Mason. We've just got done 3-0. And all these things add up. And Bruno's petulance, you could see. We don't even know how to channel aggression. It's just foolish. And we were so stupid yesterday. So many people, like mates, didn't get in. It was 1-0 down. And then, like, familiarity, familiar saying, it was brought contempt. And it was just hope. And so I've done this a bit arse about tits. I think it all started to go tits up when Nick turned me down for that pint. But I don't regret the pre-match optimism. But you're going to have the first bit of the pod afterwards, because you just get angry listening to me giddy. I don't ever want to not go to Old Trafford with hope. But honestly kept thinking, clutching. Yeah, right. We're seeing strands or something, it'll click. But sometimes you just have to accept, not only will it never click, but what are we actually hoping for? Because I think United swallows players and it swallows managers, and for all his trying, and he's clearly trying, cares, we don't see enough of his personality, we don't see enough boldness, we don't see enough gambling, and ultimately we're coming up short. And it'll be a hell of a thanks, because it has been a ride, but it's been fleeting moments. And whatever we think, I mean, the tide has obviously turned up. There isn't a mate, but I've just gone fucking hidden away. I've not looked at a WhatsApp message since the final whistle. I'm sulking all week. I had such a good magnex, Megan, it's all going to have to be rewritten on a selfish level. I just feel so upset. A side moan, fucking how long did it take to get into the ground yesterday? I mean, like I said to the gate bloke, it's not your fault, but Jesus Christ, literally, A, the aggression of what have you got in this pocket, to go and see shit football, read the room, and then just how long does it take? It was just ridiculous. You know, United, there's so many things where you think, yeah, they keep saying we're the biggest club in the world, but we're clearly not. That was one of the worst 45 minutes I think I've ever seen at Old Trafford, and I've seen some stinkers. And Xerxia keeps saying, you know, yeah, he's got a good touch, but bloody hell. Well, we even, Matsurai, all the good he's done, they targeted him yesterday. And I feel like I'm on the Titanic and I'm just rearranging the deck chairs going, yeah, yeah, what if Eric comes good? What if Eric comes good? But you run out of times you can say it. The paradox is, I did argue this to a fuck off Barney from Dear Mates, is if we are going to say, I'll maintain, if we are going to, the only hope left is to scab a cup this season, I still maintain he'll be the bastard who could do it for us. But I'm defending him with, I'm not defending him. I just, you can't defend it, can you? I just feel sad. It's like, he was the one out of all of them that I thought, you know, the Ollie, I still maintain the Ollie was the best football and the most excitement and the biggest, yeah, from the Jose Malays. You know, but you think, forget Moyes, but Van Gaal, like, sort of thought, it's boring, but it sort of can get somewhere. Mourinho, you thought, yeah, we know, 2 years, and then he shits the dugout. Okay, that's done. Ollie, ultimately not good enough. And then you thought, this is the one. All right, give him time. Give him the time. And I'm glad we get to answer the what-ifs, and now we know. Wish him well, but I don't think United's his level, and probably ultimately Ajax is his level, and that's where you get found at the Premier League. I do think they'll try for Tuchel. God, the elephant in the room in a waist jacket, stinking the gaff out with a huge boring shit, is Southgate. Please God, no, but I do think they'll try for Tuchel again. I don't think I'm in the rood, I know. But then what happens with that coaching stuff? So there are things where Ineos, and I get it because I'm one of the ones, I can't be a hypocrite, but they've given him the money, backed him, got new staff in, and then you think that could all turn to shit, and what has gone on? And this was Spurs with Timo Werner. Like, he looked world class yesterday. That's how bad we were without Son. And two half-decent strikers in Solanke and Johnson look better than ours. Goes back to the criminalness that we don't have a striker. But ultimately, I feel we're a defence and we're midfield and we're striker, detached from each other. Not only detached from each other, but don't know how to do their jobs well enough. And then the instructions clearly go awry because at 1-0 down and a red card, what do? You shore up and hope for a chance. And we're just like fucking Tinkerbell bollocks of, what are you doing? You know, just a naivety and stroke stupidity that we keep showing at this level. And you're just going to get bitten so badly. The Bruno thing, the sending off, we were getting done anyway. I think it was a red, but it looks worse in slow motion. And you just think it's not even, our red cards, we're just very stupid. We don't slow up play like other teams, much as I loathe the modern way of football of quite repetitive dullness. And the playing out of the back, if you're not very good at it, you may as well fucking get Big Sam in and hoof the ball up to more things. I thought Rashford, the so low expectations we go, at least he was trying, that's how low it all is. But he was doing the runs and no one was picking up, and I thought, yeah, that's the tactic, but okay, if you're not doing that and also it's not working, so what's the other tactic here? We didn't have one. And he got a bit petulant booting the ball, but at least showed an iota of care. But I do think the Rashford, the Delos shouldn't still be here, and we cling to, oh, we had a good week there. Fucking hell, what good about good seasons? None of us fans can affect this, unfortunately. Wish we could. All we can do is what we do, turn up and hope and know that decisions will be made with or without us. Ultimately, that's what it's come down to. I see social media, I see YouTubers offering each other for a fight. Fuck me, what has Manchester United become? But who signed off Xerxes? You know, sometimes I feel like... The last people on the Eric Titanic are like a cult. one day, when? Don't know, Trigger, don't know. But I can't see how he turns it around. Carlo next to me said the optimism will leak out of us here today, and it clearly has from 20. How you get the players to react to setbacks, better tacticians will do that. I don't think the players respect him ultimately, and I know sense blood. That DeLow putting his hand up, what was that? Like, teacher, please, I need a poo. What are you doing? Like, just... There's so many goals like that we concede, like the Brighton, like the one at Chelsea, where you think, I don't think I'd be that bad, even waddling on. Too little, too late, we started to do something in the second half, but which musters to nothing. Goal difference, again. We used to laugh about that one day, now we just cry. That's pretty ultimately the United expressionism we've got. Anyone who came to this podcast for a lift, please evacuate the building right away. Spurs have a plan. And then I know, like, it's been said a thousand times, but now teams go, lads, it's United. What a complete and utter fuck of a turnaround. Lads, it's Spurs to lads, it's United. And Anthony, I mean, what was the point of even, you know, get him out on loan? If you're not, if the man who actually believes in him, of a party of one, doesn't even give him minutes. What? So many weird things over the last few years. But they all add up. At least the kids are doing well in the academy. Give it till Nick Cox is until the end of the season. Or give it Steve Bruce to piss boil Geordies and then their fountains. Give it to Steve Bruce to the end of the season. Anyway, you laugh at this. I went to the doctor, got a few problems with a aging 53-year-old body, and with my AIDS, there's a problem, a little problem. He said, I have to tell you now, you have to stop contact sports forevermore immediately. And I said, well, that's not a problem, considering my last contact sport was ping pong. I don't know. I'm done. Like, the people who say, I'm done with United now, and I hope they lose today, like a few imbeciles on social media. Can you fuck off and fuck off again? And then when you collect your tickets, fuck off, fuck off. Any United fan who wants us to lose a game, off tiddlywinks, just don't understand it. Anyway, I got home, bit pissed, very, very morose, as only this madness can do to us. And Albert had a United annual with a pen that he was filling in hopes and things in. And that just made me a little bit proud, and I welled up a bit and thought, fuck 'em, fuck 'em, fuck 'em. Don't join any ABU epidemic of glee in this. Just avoid it all. What is going to happen is going to happen. And at least we can hold our heads up and say we did our bit again. Whether ultimately I think the Old Trafford atmosphere has not been the kick on that I thought it would be this season. People all around me, well, not all, but a few, three or four, filming in K-Stand. I mean, filming a shit 3-0 defeat. When are you ever going to look back at that and think, yeah, that's one to watch? But I think that's my hate of the week, hate of the decade, what football has become. An old dinosaur going, and we just have a glory season again. It was Reds of a certain vintage, immensely glad we had all that we had when we did. And then younger Reds, you enjoy the leaves now. And fuck off this influencers contact my manager at. I don't know. What has football become? What has United become? Enjoy Porto. Us stuck back home. All you're going to enjoy the port tours and the super box. And us back home are just going to linger with all this. And apparently they've given him, you know, he's on thin ice and will look after Porto and Villa. But it's a bit like, if you know what's going to happen, what's the point of another week? And when someone who's so invested in him, so please let this be the one, feels a bit broken, feel for him, off in his Tesco in his bicycle. This ain't salvageable, is it? All right. I think there's other things. I don't know who said. I'm going to go through the WhatsApp now. Fuck it. See you later.
Hello again. I've just realised that my note that I did before the game didn't save. So I'm going to pretend to be really happy and have not just watched a really bad game of football. Just to explain that, yeah, I'm in Lisbon, came here early because obviously going to Porto in a few days, and I can't wait to watch Manchester United play Spurs in a minute. That'll be really good. I'm sure that we will be really good at football. I can't wait. What else did I say? I actually did say that the last few games were also really frustrating. That's all I had to say about that. We should have beaten 20. And we should be expecting to do better against Palace as well. I said lots of other things, but I can't remember what I said. But yes, let's pretend that I've not already seen another terrible game of football. I'm really happy in Lisbon, and I can't pretend. We're shit, aren't we? Right. Hello again. I'm glad that I did that little pre-match pod where I sounded a bit happier. What's that famous phrase? Was it Fergie who said, it's Tottenham, lads. Like, don't matter. It's only Tottenham. That's us now. That is Manchester United. It's United. It's United, lads. Don't matter. Because no one is going into games anymore fearing playing us. And I think it's been like that for a while, but home games, away games, doesn't matter. Anyone can get at us. Last season, everyone got at us. We were a millimetre away from being knocked out of the FA Cup semi-final by Coventry. We should have lost that game. Coventry could have beaten us. We're shit. And nothing is changing. And we won the FA Cup. Well done. Wigan won the FA Cup. Don't mean they were good. I remember. So what? Well, I'm in Lisbon now. What? So almost a year ago, I was saying exactly the same exact words whilst I was in Vietnam in like November time, saying that we're shit, saying that we can't do anything. I said it 6 months ago when I was sat in a park in Tbilisi, saying we're shit and we can't do anything. And I'm saying it again now, walking down the street in Lisbon, having watched us just get humiliated at home again. How long are people going to be okay with just carrying on with that? Do you know, that's almost a year of us being shit, and it's been longer. How long are people going to give until you realise that? And how many times have I said it? That nothing's going to change until something changes, and there's only one person who's to blame for that. It's the person who has put that squad together now. There's no excuses. This is his third season, and pretty much every single person on that pitch is either bought by him or came through him. Other than Rashford and Bruno, there's no excuses that it's not his team or anything like that. This is his team, and he's shit. And I'm sick of saying it. And the sooner he's gone, the better. And people might still try and find excuses for it, but there's no excuses. He is tactically inept and can't look beyond signing people either that he's got a contact with or from his country. It's embarrassing, and the sooner he's gone, the better. And I'm beyond even caring, really. I know it doesn't sound it, but Am I surprised? Not at all. We can't pass the ball. First goal today was again, it was reminiscent of the 20 goal. It was just one end of the pitch to the other. A centre-back, he might be fast, but a centre-back being able to run from his own half all the way through and squaring it through for a tap-in is undefendable. Well, literally. It should be defendable, but having that, being able to do that is, it's just, it'll be gone sooner rather than later. We said earlier on in the week that this is a big week of games, Spurs, Porto and then Villa, and I said in the group we could easily win, we could easily lose all three of them, and well, today hasn't proved me wrong so far. I could easily see us losing the next two. I think it's a matter of time before something happens, and it'll be the right decision. I don't think there should be anyone who can stand by and say that there's nothing. It doesn't look like anything's changing. Really, I don't think. So what are people waiting for? What are you? Is it just like, oh well, when we get to the fourth season, it will suddenly click? No. You know, we've got, there's managers who come in and already look like they've got an identity after a few games, let alone a few seasons. So if people want to see a change on the pitch, then it needs to happen off the pitch. And if that doesn't happen, then just expect the same thing to happen again and again and again, because that's what's happening now. This voice note could literally have been from a year ago, and I think that says everything you need to know about the situation. I think nothing has changed. Right, I didn't even get a super bock in the pub, by the way. They were doing Sagres. It's not that bad, is it? It's alright. So walking, gonna try and find some more pubs and try and forget about that bollocks. I'll try and do one of these again. I think Barney wants me to do it when we're in Porto, so get some other people involved. And yeah, right, see you later, goodbye.
Hey team, Nick, seller, wanted to just do a little couple of minute rant. After that, I've just, I don't even know where to even begin. I'm just speechless. It took ages to get home on the tram, and I'm just trying to sit there, collect my thoughts on it, and it's just atrocious. I mean, it's got to be one of the worst that I've seen us play, and that's saying something, because there's been some bad ones in there over the last two and a bit years under Eric. There really has been some bad ones, and I don't see it changing. Scratch that pre-match optimism, you know, that was saying about style of play and see what we're doing. I don't want to get, you know, too hasty after one bad game, or maybe two if you include Liverpool in there this season so far. You know, you can maybe argue Brighton to an extent as well, maybe. But I just honestly, I don't know what that was. I mean, it's not like we were playing a top team where it was men v boys, but that's what it was today. You know, Spurs are usually thereabouts our level. They're probably going to be finishing in around six. Maybe we might get our crap together and maybe we do finish around there, but they're certainly around our kind of level. And it's just, I don't know. I mean, it's worrying when you see that they're the favourites to win the Europa League, which I didn't realise. You know, that's, people rate them better than where we're at now. And anyway, it's just a bad day from start to finish. We were late in due to the excessive queues outside. You know, many in K-Stan just couldn't get in. I got in after 7 or 8 minutes had gone, missed the first goal. Just really set the tone for a bad day, doesn't it? And, you know, Lord knows where our goals are coming from. I mean, we keep saying it, don't we, for weeks and weeks and weeks. And we're still none the wiser, are we, really? I mean, for example, you know, what is Xerxes? You know, I don't want to keep singling him out and making my new Martial, but I feel like that's what he's probably going to be. I just don't see what type of player he is. As I said before, is he Berbatov, is he Fellaini? He's a bit of both, and he's got all the bad qualities of both of those two players, I feel. And it's just, it's not working with him in there. I don't know what he serves a purpose for. He comes very deep. He doesn't really have a clue how to get into the box and get into the right positions, which is worrying when Ruud's the coach. I'm tired of seeing everyone get the ball on the edge of the area and then they look inside the box and there's nobody to aim at. You know, so many times today we got the ball around the 18-yard box and there's just nobody in there. Or Xerxes, like, you know, messing around on the edge of the box out there. And I know we kept saying about we need to sign a striker and we can go through the whole Ivan Toney thing again, as Barney was saying before. But, I mean, the sooner that Højlund gets fit, get back in there, because he's a better option than what Xerxes is. I don't understand why Eric keeps trying to play Dallow in this Pirlo role or whatever it is. He keeps getting to come into this defensive midfield role. It's just really annoying me. You know, a proper left-back, a left-footed left-back should have been a priority signing. And I said that again going way back into a few podcasts ago, saying we needed to get a proper left-back. And, you know, Shaw's unreliable. Malassi has been very unreliable since we've been here. We still don't know if he's any good and if he's going to come back even the same player he's been out for so long. You have to have overlapping full-backs, you know, in the Premier League these days. You know, all the good teams have got them. I know City play with this inverted style and stuff like that as well, but they've still got good overlapping fullbacks at the same time, you know, that can get out wide and put crosses in, take the pressure off wide players, and it helps them get into the box. But because we don't hold the ball up enough, we don't boss the midfield enough, we can't even get them forward even if we wanted to. If I have to watch Dallow in that bloody Pirlo role again, I'm going to scream. I really am going to scream, because it's just, it doesn't work. And I know Nathan's highlighted it a few times, and he's always said, you know, they get, you know, they, another team gets the ball and all of a sudden they're just coming at us straight away. And you just think, God, not again. You know, no one's covered themselves in glory again. You know, I know I'm picking on Xerxes and, you know, a couple of others there, but no one's covered themselves in glory. You can't come away by thinking, do you know what, maybe I had a decent performance, maybe I had one or two saves in there and stuff. You can't even really have anything to even hang your hat on with that again today. And it's another team scoring 3+ goals against us, and there's just so many of them. You know, that's the 22nd time I make it, if my maths are right, that a team has scored 3 or more goals while Eric's been in charge. 22 times. In his first season, there were 6. Brentford beat us 4-0, didn't they? With City, Villa, Arsenal, Liverpool and Sevilla. They all scored at least 3 goals against us in a game of football in that first season. And last season, there was 14 teams that scored 3 or more goals against us. 14 teams. Arsenal, Brighton, City, Bournemouth, Wolves, City again, Chelsea, Liverpool, Coventry. Coventry in a league below. Newcastle League Cup, we got Bayern Munich, Galatasaray twice, Copenhagen. Do you know what I mean? These are teams that just shouldn't be getting these. And we're not even in October yet, and we can already put Liverpool and Spurs putting 3 past us without us even scoring and without a reply. And it's not October. You know, it's absolutely crazy. And you're seeing polls and, you know, opinions on what they think with Eric now is, it's a very lonely island to be on if you're in the Eric Ten Hag camp, because the majority are very much on the out, and the murmurs walking back to the tram were the worst I've seen them. They really have, and I think a lot of people genuinely felt that today. But as I say, that's the 22nd time in just over 2 years that a team has scored 3 or more goals against us, and I think that that is inexcusable in itself. We've lost 50% of the league games we've played after 6 matches. I know it sounds very Eric out, and I mentioned that pre-match, and I was happy to see him given time with these new signings to gel, and, you know, but I genuinely don't think I see what's going to change going forward. I think we're always going to continue to struggle to score goals, unless Højlund has this massive renaissance about it, unless Shaw comes back and we get the Rashford from a couple of seasons ago. I don't see what's going to change. You know, if we don't apply pressure by scoring ourselves, then we're always going to invite it towards us, and teams will sniff it out. They don't fear playing against us for that reason. They know that if they can stop us from scoring, they only need to score one, because they know that we can't score goals. You know, if we score first in a game, I'd fancy us to win it, maybe at least draw. You know, you look at 20 the other night, and we mentioned we should have killed that off pre-match, but can you honestly see this team coming from a goal down? honestly, genuine question, can you actually honestly see yourself, this team, coming from a goal down? Because it's one of those, we're at that stage where a couple of years ago, even in middle of Eric's tenure, and I was saying, well, go one down, we might as well just go on. Genuinely felt like that. And you can feel everyone around us in Kane making plans, thinking, what minute are we going on? And we're at 1-0 down. It's just insane, isn't it, really? And I think that is probably a damning indictment itself. I mean, the top five of the Premier League boast no surprises. You've got good teams up there. You've got Liverpool, City, Arsenal, Chelsea, Villa again as well. You know, it's already taking shape after 6 or 7 games in the Premier League and we're on the same points as Brentford. It's like, you've got to recognise where we are and you've got to have these fast starts. And I know Eric made his excuses that the team wasn't fit and stuff to start the season. And maybe it will get better, but I don't see it. I don't see it going forward. I really, really don't. I mean, the only saving grace, I think, today is I was stood behind the world's tallest man. He must have been about 8 foot. I mean, it was sad, really, because he should have been 8 foot wide and he could have blocked bloody Onana's goal and I probably wouldn't have to have seen all three of the goals. But, God, he must have taken up about 25% of... Hopefully Barney puts the picture out there. I had to take a picture. He was that tall. Just incredible. But, yeah, anyway... Thanks very much for everyone that stopped and had a chat and bought the mic and stuff today. Massively appreciated it. Starting to feel the cold coming in now. And yeah, it's just not joyous selling weather that's going to be coming forward. But yeah, I'll just leave you with the fact of, you know, if there is a God, he definitely hates Man United Football Club. It was just poor all around today from getting in, the standard of football. And then when you try and leave... the heavens just open and you just get absolutely drenched going back to the tram. It's just a miserable, miserable day. And as I say, if you're on there, Eric Island, you're on there very probably on your own. There can't be many people harping on. I don't know how I feel about it. And I'm definitely wavering. I'm definitely wavering. Anyway, glory, glory, Man United. Sorry, I said it was only going to be 5 minutes. Anyway.
Probably he's late. Red News Podcast. 234, there's his Spurs, 3-1 United, come on, no doom. And what did you say? Nick's not here, he said he was supposed to be here at 2. What did you just say, Ben?
He's probably washing his plastic bag, isn't he?
Right, so Nathan is in Porto early.
He is, yeah, I've Ellis seen Aiden. Him, yeah.
I'll get your score prediction in a bit. But so I said, oh, Nick, obviously it's my bad planning, was much less mags than a year ago. I didn't think we'd have many... today, so I've messed up a bit, but I said, oh Nick, shall we have a pint and a pod today? He said, yeah, that's a good idea. So I said, oh, we'll think of a nice place where we can, you know, get here for this time, have a nice pint, you know, we don't share this time because we're always in a rush, we're selling. Yeah, that sounds a good idea. I went to bed last night at midnight because I had to get up at 5. There's a message at 12:30. I've been burnt out. He's just discarded me like a cat that you'd kick out. Like, what was that, West Ham player? So that's what he did. And yeah. I was like, well, that's no way to treat
so
someone who was looking for.
He's Kurt Zoomed you, basically.
Yeah. So, here he is.
Here he is.
12:30, the message came through that you couldn't have a pint with me.
12:30?
Oh, last night.
Yeah, last night, because I forgot.
You forgot. I was so excited about that pint.
Me too, as well. But, you know.
There's no excuses.
I have two jobs.
There's two jobs. One's washing his plastic bag, isn't it?
That's three, think.
That's three, then.
Right. So, I've got lots to say, as ever. I think I wasn't here. And as I made the point on the Forever Red, please listen to that podcast. I do think being there and not being there does change your perspective. I do think I'm much more critical when I'm not at a game to when I'm at a game, Crystal Palace. I personally think you have to take the 20 results separate to the Palace, because I think the Europa's such a farce. Yeah, we want to win every game, but it's such a group. I do think, and the internet, but people I like, people I trust... because we're on the internet, so it's, you can't label the internet as this big thing. I did think it turned a bit for Eric on the next morning, and I do get it. We should be doing better. We're not losing, but I'm trying to separate, because what do we want? What do we want as United? You want to win every game, but the 20 separation, but it's all adding up. 7 games in, it's not good enough. But the pressure's building, the noise is growing, and as I said, the pinballing that I said last week, we're pinballing already. And I don't want to be here. I certainly don't want to be in a doom-ridden international break after Villa. And what the other point I meant, whatever we're all 70,000 of us saying today, I think we'll win today, and I think Bruno's going to have a good game, and I hope Bruno plays as a false nine up top today. I'd revert back to a system that won us the cup final, play that, and then get your wide players quick as you can be against them today. But whatever we say, it's down to Ineos. And what have they got in their heads? What were their targets? They'll have targets, as any management group does. Where should you be in September, October, November, December? The last point I had before we got on a wider thing, sorry lads, is if we're saying this season we weren't going to do things, and that what was our aims, it just came to me. So, and I, but if we're saying we want to win a cup, you know, and hope for top four, then the manager who would win us a cup is actually here already. There's no manager who's better equipped to win a cup. That's been shown than here. So the decision then comes to, is he the man who's going to make us top four? Personally, I always thought he would. Whatever I think, and I'm much more defensive. If you hear, I'm very critical of him. That he and Ericsson came out after Thursday and said we were 98-99% of the races. Disgraceful. Start the season with all that thing you've got on you. I don't think he's going to last till Christmas, but I really want him to. And if you ask me in February or March, if we do replace him, who's the best bloke to get us a cup at the end of the season?
Nobody I can think of off the top of my head. You know, who's available? Who's available now that can win you the cup? And if you bring somebody out, if he has a disastrous November and you get rid of him in November, who do you bring in?
Is it Southgate or Tuchel, isn't it?
I would not have Southgate. I'd chuck myself in that river behind us there if we had Southgate. I'll tell you, he's not going to win anything. But he doesn't win nothing for England, has he really?
Tuchel's here for the short term.
Tuchel,
so does that rebuild?
And does he not fall out with players as well? So you've got to look at that aspect of things as well. But I just think, no, listen, we win today, we're 4 points behind City and we're 4 points behind Arsenal. Is it five behind Liverpool after they win yesterday? You know, so it's not all doom and gloom, really, is it? Yes, you can be critical of the performances. We'll go back to Palace. As I said to you, Barney, we should be 3 or 4 up back, easy by half time. And again, it's 20 here as well. We had chances. We had chances first half as well. It's just not taking them.
We didn't get going, which...
We didn't get going as well. And I sometimes think sometimes when he's changing a few personnel around, instead of maybe trying to keep the same back four or the same back line, and you bring in Maguire in. And not sort of diss on Maguire, by the way. I thought he had a decentish game, you know. But
the goal's a comedy of it. Like,
it is,
there's
well.
Five stages to that goal. Even Nana's culpable.
They're all culpable.
And that is... I just like... That goal is just laughable, because Eriksen, yeah, but he's not. You look at its stages, and sometimes you stare at a goal, and I just think, but we weren't good. But then there's 1,000 nights in the Europa at home, we're not good. Sorry, Nick, you were actually a bit more.
I honestly don't get the negativity, if I'm being completely honest with you. I know, obviously, in our chat's been pretty divided on about it, but for me, I think that we've created chances and we've not taken them, and that's not personally on the manager. What is on the manager and what no one's talking about is how we come out in the second half. I mean, to be fair, Shane did mention it in our chat. We come out in the second half and we're just all over the place and we're so easy to carve open. But you know, you're right what you're saying, we should have been 3 or 4 up at Palace easily. We should have been, you know, the same easily was the could easily have been said for 20 the other night. I thought the first half was great, but
It's not right, is it?
I thought it was good. I really enjoyed the first half. I thought that we really had to go, and Rashford looked up for it. But the problem is, though, is that we're not taking chances or maybe creating enough of them. You know, we're still in that stage where nobody wants to be the guy to take a shot or take a man up. I don't think we've seen that over the last two games, really, over Palace and 20. I mean, in the second half we have done, but it's the confidence, because we're not 2 or 3 up. We come out a bit shaky in the second half with a bit of doubt in ourselves, and the other team sense a bit of fear, and they've been coming at us. And I wouldn't be surprised to see the same thing today, because Spurs will be open. We said high line about 97 times on last year's podcast. And, you know, they'll play the same today. Ange won't change. We'll have loads of chances. It's just, are we going to take them? And that's what it's, that's the question.
The,
of it is
the
now.
Thing we sound very and I'll ask my, we sound very defensive about Eric. There's a bloke with the strip. But what we've got to be doing better, because I'm not viewing it as we're only 8 games in. We are. This is the 3rd season. Come on, Eric, now. You've got to deliver. Because you're gone, mate. As much I want... what the madness of the internet where, you know, Ollie, who we love, we couldn't get 2 people, 3 people who love, 4 people, 5 people who love Ollie more. But come on, he said a flippant comment in a bloody forum where he's paid a lot of money. Come on, Ollie, you're better than that as well. I'd probably do that. I'd do that with my arse on show. But it's like, you know, oh, we were only 6 points behind City when everyone at Watford knew what a disaster. And as you say, if we win today, we're only 4 points. So doesn't that turn the axis on? But when we say, you know, like Marcus Rashford seemed up for it, come on, they've got to, when their own players, Ericsson, are admitting you're not up for it against 20, I'm absolving that in the bigger picture, fuck 20, but their players have got to, they've got a responsibility, but that does come down to the manager.
Yeah,
where's
saying,
the demand? Where's the greed?
And that's why you're seeing teams come at us, because it's about how we then, the team played in the second half of that game, like they'd had it at 1-0. They were like, we've got our goal, these lot are going to do nothing, because they had done nothing, let's be fair, they'd done bugger all in that game. And then all of a sudden, just the confidence builds, doesn't it? Where they think, well, hang on a minute, it's a score here, we're level. And it's just, it's that impetus to kill a game.
But someone said for
which
them,
we haven't got yet. And I think that that's something we can live up. You can't say that when we talk about style of play, which is what we spoke about the last 2 years, of what is our style of play and what's supposed to be played. I don't think you can say that for the last 2 or 3 or 4 matches. I think I genuinely have seen it. And, you know, I sat with my mum on Wednesday night and I was saying, I actually feel like they know what they're doing for a change. It's like, it's nice to see Rashford thinking, I've got someone I can play off and then run off with Xerxes. He looks like he quite likes him.
Xerxes,
and he's been lost without Shaw. I mentioned it multiple times last year to you that Rashford is better when Luke Shaw plays. When he's not got an overlapping fullback, he's not good enough because he gets man marked by 2 or 3 players and gets taken out of the game. So,
but we can't. Nick, we can't go in 2024 saying Luke Shaw injury is hampering us, knowing all the Luke Shaw injuries before that have hampered us. That's on the stupidity of, and also the criminal aspect of not having a striker. Tony would have scored 3 of the goals this year and got us out of trouble. Whether he's greedy, whether he's not,
Ivan Tony.
Yeah, he would have.
It's not where my brain went there.
The things that we're saying, like we're leaving Palace, if we how often on this fucking pod have we cried out, get a striker? I find it criminal. I know the financial bollocks, but come on. And I like Xerxes, but you don't sign Xerxes. We've got enough for the futures, and it's great seeing the ages changing, but the here and now saves Eric's job. And ultimately, and I go back, we will be left in a better position squad-wise when Eric does go. 100%, I think.
Well, that just depends on if your new manager's going to like Ajax players or not.
Yeah, but Ugarte was getting criticised the other night. Mike, so totally, where do you stand? I don't know.
Personally, I think we are crying out for number 9. A proper number 9. I would have taken Tony with absolutely. I love Tony. I think he would have fitted in exactly what we need. But at the moment, we just look like we're not. No one wants to take a shot. Everyone's scared out of their wits to take a shot. And people are playing out. I think Rashford looks a bit more livelier. But other than that, I still think we've got the same problems. We just don't look.
Well, where are you on Eric? Do you blame Eric for that then?
I think the owners have got to take some responsibility. I think everything stands with the owners, and it always has done, and it always will do. I think Eric has been given some money. I think it's criminal that we haven't got left back in. Like you said earlier, I think we desperately need a left-sided full-back. Shaw's not fit, we need to get someone in. End of story. Sometimes I come here and think, does Eric know what we're doing in terms of line-up and subs, but you got to trust him. He's the current manager in charge until he gets us knocked out of the league or out of the cups. You got to back him. End of story.
Where do you think? What's your prediction today?
I think it might be another 1-0. I think to us, but I don't think
I think it's all or nothing. Today is the next week is. But I hate that fact because then we're in Ollie land of. Then if the next week, what difference does this week matter to all the other weeks? Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Why is this more significant? If they are having doubts, this is where it's so complicated because we know, you know, not all of them backed in. Yeah. So it's like, We've got to, all I want us to do is have a period of results where we're stepping away from all this shit. It feels like, how many times have we walked past and had similar conversation? And that, and half of that is down to Eric. I don't think, you know, like, I don't think he's shit. I don't think...
But it's also, as well, Ben, I think it's a better player responsibility as well. Like, you know, if Ericsson coming out and saying that the other team were up for it more, well, shouldn't you, as a sort of elder statesman of the group with the experience of international football, and then be G-ing your teammates, not getting them up for the game? Where's that leadership coming from? That's what I think we said this last season. Where's that on-field leadership coming from? You get it from Bruno, fair play, you know, but he does... Sometimes I think Bruno loses his head sometimes, and he's waving his arms around, and he's, you know, I think he's got too much responsibility on his shoulders sometimes. There's a lack of leadership on that football pitch. And then going back to your having shots business, someone like Garnacho will have a pop every now and then, but if he doesn't come off, and he'll have the groans, he'll have the groans and the moans, and then people saying, oh, he's too greedy, should we pass him more, blah 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 blah. And the same with Rashford as well sometimes, you know. He'll hit a shot. He'll hit a shot into an opposition defender, for example. And you know, the first thing you hear is a load of groans, and then people getting on Rashford's back, and so it's a little bit of a catch.
Well, there's the atmosphere, well. And I think we might hopefully won't see it today, but I don't think we're far off it. The Bruno thing, like that.
I think he's knackered a little bit. Yeah. He's playing far too much football as well. He didn't have to come on against Barnsley. I understand that. I understand he wants to play every minute and every match. Fair play to him.
Go, Robbie.
So I understand that he wants to play every minute he can do, but he should have not come on against Barnsley. He should not have come on. He should have put Ethan Wheatley on, maybe, giving him a bit of a go.
The worry, for the Eric thing is, on the Red News Forum, I started a thing saying Eric in, Eric unsure, Eric out, and it was November the 2nd, 2023. So we haven't escaped this. You know, there's been doubts by a sizable amount of people for a long period, and it's growing. You know, I'm a simpleton. I just want to win. I want to see United win today. But there's got to be more. There's got to be more than it. Where are you?
I'm firmly Eric in.
What are you using for that?
Well, he's averaging a trophy a season for a start, and I think that's a solid argument. And
yeah,
the idea of anyone
wanting for 8 months of that season, is it worth the cup?
Everything was worth that cup final this year, Barney. It was the best day I've ever had of being at a Manchester United game. Was that final? It was. I wasn't there in 99. I had no money in 2008. That was the best day that I've ever had, being there and following Man United. It was absolutely worth it. Would I sit through 8 months of that for 90 minutes of that again? Yes, I would, unequivocally. That is not even up for debate. That was fantastic. So, again, anyone who wants to get rid of a manager that's averaging a trophy a season, just for me, I don't understand that.
On the critical level, like I say, I like Xerxes' touch. I think whether he's, you know, the goals, but it's like... One thing I think Eric's stagnating a bit with the way he speaks, and we're getting back that dark hole of process and trust me, and right, everyone's done that, and now you've got to get through this. The other thing with Xerxes, we had a period where United signed players, Kagawa, and that's ongoing, Mount, that we don't really know where to play. And we certainly don't know where to play fucking Bruno, your best player. And you think, we've signed Xerxes, where does he play?
Sometimes they get in each other's way, don't they? Xerxes and Bruno. Sometimes they drop into the same space. It's like,
well, what is he? Like, number 10?
I genuinely don't know what he is. He's kind of like a cross between like Berbatov and Fellaini, and I can't that's how I see him. It's like, I don't know which one he's going to be when the ball
just
gets
the description
through. I just don't really know what he is. I'm just confused every time I see him. I'm not entirely sure he's exactly what we need.
It's not quick enough, is it?
No,
it's not quick enough.
He's got a vision. You can tell, even the through ball to Garnacho. And I don't. And is it this bad that we're, you know, like, there's debates about the two new signings, and that's not going to do anyone any good.
In my favour,
but three wins out of seven, you know, we've got to have thought Mudders would be better than this, Ben.
Well, obviously, yeah, but going back to the Xerxes thing, though, he might thrive playing off with Højlund. Someone that has a little bit quicker in front of him, a little bit more. But then it's Højlund.
I'm excited, Højlund. But the problem there is, he's got to be on the right. He's got, like I said, a year. He's got to be at it right away. For our sakes, for the team's sakes, Højlund's got to do better than he did last season. Otherwise, and like the note, what does everyone in football say? Whatever we think, again, it comes down to Ineos, and I don't trust any suit, and I'll criticise them. They, you know, I know that their bonhomie of the Glazers out and the 27%, but they're still here, and Ineos are making unpalatable decisions. Is what does they say? Football is a results business, and if he doesn't get the results, anyway, I don't know. I just don't know, and I hate my head being so fucked up with United again. I didn't want this.
Yeah,
we're not even at the end of September, are we?
But things can only get better. I think the old song we used to
But we sang that for Jadon Sancho in a bar in Leek. But the pace of process is like the last 20 minutes at Palace watching that again. What were they doing? Was it confidence? Was it instructions? Gamble. But Gary Neville made the point. I caught the last 2 minutes in that idle, vain hope. Come on, Wolves, last night. And Gary Neville was making the point about Wolves, not you know, like. Where's a team gap? Do you remember, like, Vidic up front? And someone said last week, just put an extra body up there.
Wasn't it Ferguson that said the last 15 minutes you're losing? There's no point trying to have four at the back. Just go up and try and win the game. You know, at least the fans can accept losing if you've gone and tried everything to win and gamble, yeah. You know, sometimes even under Sir Alex, it didn't pay off, and those are the things that happens when you gamble, but at least you're gambling. But back to the Palace, when, like I said to you at the end of the game, it's when he made them subs, it's like, it just seems that the tempo seems to have died out of the team. It's like the subs came on with given different instructions to play differently, or because it just completely died, the tempo died. It was like, just think, what they're saying, what's Van Nistelrooy feeling into this as well?
That goes the improvement. Like, has anyone ever been to see the Mona Lisa? And like, you know when you go and... is it staring that way, and is it all a load of bollocks? Has someone just invented that the eyes stare at you? And then I think that's what watching United's like. You think, have they improved? I think they've improved, but or is someone selling me a fucking fake Mona Lisa and they haven't improved? I don't know. But hate of the week, lads, quickly, I'll go train adverts, which never show any train journey I've ever been on. You know, there's space for starters, and then there's people cracking open Bonhomie. They've never travelled on Avanti, have they? The subculture where 40 Reds met 40, 20 and 1, I don't condone it, but at least we've won this week, is we said, would there be a subculture that would meet us for a drink off or, like, a bag off? McTominay... And I get the greater thing of, you know, we need to move on, he needs to move on. What a move for him. That is, I do find it a shame, but yeah, we want better players. But he could be a cult hero there. Yeah. What a move for him that is. Yeah. Good luck. I'm buzzing for him. Like, shame, you know, we need to get better, but if we don't get better. Right, hate of the week.
Uber drivers. Thinking they own the fucking road, man. Sorry,
yeah, no.
I think they own the fucking roads, mate. I had one pull out of me without even indicating on the way down here, full on beeping, and he's giving me the fingers. I'm like, mate, you're not even indicating, you're not even watching what you're doing. Please.
Prediction.
I'm going 3-1 United today.
I'm going 3-1, Zayden.
2-0.
2-0.
Hate of the week is cancer, and I hope United win 1-0.
And I'm sorry, and all the best, family. Yeah. Hate of the week.
People who drink black coffee and have to shove it down your throat that they drink black coffee. But it's like, I get it, you drink black coffee, you don't need to tell everybody that you drink black coffee. It's
a
like,
couple of members did say that.
If you drink it, I'm not victimising, but if you're then going, oh, you don't drink your coffee, you have milk in your coffee, those people, they can get to fuck.
Love of the week.
Love of the week. God.
Us after this victory.
I don't know
where we turn it around.
Ask me in 90 minutes. But predictions 2-2.
Right, gone fishing is a positive week. Shane got us on that, and it's so funny. It's safe, just morbid enough for someone like me, but I don't know. Yeah.
I'll say love of the week, Barney. Seeing you lads.
Oh,
you
know,
always brightens my day, isn't it?
Well, Zayden smiling when he came along. Whatever you feel, you pack up your troubles when you get to this ground, but
exactly. You
want to think like... I took frustration when I met you last week. Thanks for stopping before. What time did you get home last week?
Well, by the time we got back here, it was 1:30. By the time we got in, because we stopped off at Mackie D's for a little something to eat, about 2 a.m. But it's all worth it.
No, I know.
It's all worth it.
But you don't. Just a little bit of fact. We all, you know, we're Manchester United. Come on.
Exactly.
Like, keep saying, when are we going to be good again?
We will.
But, and we've won more.
We'll have to keep the faith.
In
we'll
the
have to
last.
Keep the faith.
the rivals, you know, like what would Spurs do for one of the trophies we've won
exactly,
in the last 2 years?
Exactly.
But the deal with the devil is United turn themselves into this monstrosity, then turn it back, and we never demanded trophies, but enough of this shit. Right, okay, I've waffled. Cheers, lads, to the regiment. Hello, Melissa.
All right, Barney, how you doing, mate?
It's £4, please. Thank you. Cheers. What do you reckon about today? You're on a podcast.
3-2. United.
Right, okay, we'll take that.
We'll take that.
How do you feel about Eric?
He's on his last legs, I think.
Do you think?
Yeah, I think so.
Where are you from?
Australia.
Oh, have you come for this or?
Yeah,
sorry,
we came
mate,
on
it takes me
football,
a bit.
Football holiday, so I haven't been back. I lived in Manchester 30 years ago, so.
Oh, perfect.
Oh, my God.
And how does it feel coming back?
I don't know where I am. It's changed.
Really?
Changed so much, yeah.
Emotional.
It was for me, yeah. And then I came here yesterday and I was like fucking tearing up, so yeah.
So what do you think about Old Trafford, the debate that's happening?
Oh, I reckon they should, if they keep it here, I'd want them to keep it here, but there's too much history, you know?
Yeah. What's it like watching games at Dafter Clark?
Yeah, it's as its moments, but yeah. No, we do what we have to do, you know.
Okay.
Yeah. Good man.
Take care. What's your name?
Craig.
Nice meeting you.
What's the podcast?
But Red News.
Red News.
Cheers, mate. Oops, don't get rid. You run over by a bike.
Yeah,
nearly run over all the way from Australia, and you get run over by a bike. Imagine dying at Barney's feet. That would be a fate worse than death. Right, Melissa. Quick questions on the United.
Yes.
Where are you with it all?
I don't know. Right, what annoys me a bit about the management is the in-game substitutions and all of that. There appears to be very little in-game management. Unless he sorts that out, then he's on a hiding to nothing. I say, like most people have been saying, give him till Christmas and see what's going on. The players are there. It can be done. You can see the difference already in them being able to pass to each other, which is different from the past 2 years. Once he's got the full team out, then let's see what actually happens when they all start actually booking up. But, like I said, the in-game management just really makes me tear my hair out.
I feel like, because I'm defending him prior to this, but like the fact that we are low, our levels, our expectations are so low, we're saying, you know, at least Rashford's trying, at least they're passing to each other. Do you know what I mean? But it is damning by fake praise, isn't it?
Yeah.
And like when you hear it back, it's not good for us to be saying.
No, it isn't. No, not at all.
But then how do we go from what we saw and all the glory?
And also...
How are you, mate? Sorry, nice. What's your name?
Sorry, I didn't realise you were recording.
No, go on the podcast. What's
Ryan, I don't want to be in it.
Give us a score. Give us a score, though.
2-1 United.
Oh, well, that's good. That's good. Nice one. I appreciate the support as well.
Thank you.
Cheers, mate.
Nice one. No, you're right, but that's because we've got higher standards than most other people. And yeah, it doesn't come across as though we're moaning about this, that and the other. There's other teams in the league that would be well happy to have been in the position that we have been. And what was it? It's James again, isn't it? Van seeing such riches, I could deal with being poor. That's it.
What is... Two quick questions. Sorry, Melissa, you come on first.
No worries.
But what is the United identity these days with all the changes we've seen? And what is the United way?
Well... That's it. The United way is not necessarily how it is. The United way, I would always say, was 4-4-2 wingers, someone knocking it in the back of the net and actually never giving up, going and putting a foot in when it's needed and not running away from it. So you've got to give the players that are new, you've got to remember, like, half of them haven't had any pre-season, they haven't done that. I feel like I'm making excuses again. But when they actually start to gel as a team, we've got someone who will put a boot in and you got it. Do you know what I mean? He will do it. Hoyland's been doing it for other teams. Do you know what I mean? Up front, we need to work out who we need on the wings. And they need to work out how and when to cross and pass. Then when we actually see the team that he wants to put out performing, then if they don't step up, then get in the bin. If they do, then happy days.
And what's the identity in terms of support, do you think?
The support that we've got at the moment?
Yeah.
That I see coming down here. Always, the away support is absolutely magnificent for those who can actually get a ticket when they've not been priced out by a variety of, let's just say, international sports groups. Who knows what's going on with the away support allocation at the moment. But at Old Trafford, it's a bit weird. I've just walked through here, and it's like the club have been doing for years and years is chase that the fleeting pound, the people who are going to pay £300 for a shit £50 seat, do you know what I mean? Because they're going to pay more money for it. And I've said it for years, if United looked after their local and long-suffering support, not just local, do you know what I mean? Like the the long-term support, you put us both in each end of the ground, yeah, and then rip off everybody else. We don't care. It's not about us. Well, give us 20 quid tickets, we'd be right.
What's your short version for the...
For the what? For the new thing? Right. Old Trafford is Old Trafford. I'd be gutted if we had a new ground. They need to sort out the train station so that like there's actually more ways of getting in and out, because that was one of the most ridiculous things, that they've just let it rot. And utilise the area
it's
around.
It's all possible,
it.
I think. Yeah. I tell you, like, I try and pause now in life. Like, don't immediately rant away in your questionnaire. Do it this week.
Yeah, yeah.
But my thing, you know, everyone knows, stay here and redevelop.
Yeah.
But I just thought, yeah, I get the arguments that Nev's made again, like, about different stands. But when Old Trafford was bombed, did we say we're moving out then?
No, exactly.
So it's still Old Trafford. That principle of not just the babes and everyone who played on the pitch, but that is Old Trafford.
Yeah, exactly.
And for me, and I know where they're going. I know what's happening. I've actually got a leaf on the muff now. Fucking hell. I don't know how it, because then, you know, you meet the person who's come for the one game experience and they're lovely too, so
no, exactly,
you know,
I'm
like,
not saying there's anything bad about them, but the fact is they are getting ripped off, but I don't mind that because they know that they shouldn't be ripping us off as well. Old Trafford is Old Trafford. And you look, have you been to a new ground that is anyway decent?
No.
Spurs is supposed to be okay, but it's
NFL, whatever, exactly. NHL, whatever the game they play.
Have you been to one of those? I remember that season when Derby knocked down the baseball ground, and then we went the next season, and it was there. Arse end, we were in like some Frankie Benny's or something like that, and it just felt like totally alien to actual football. This is our ground, and there's still that wall down there.
We're not going to be, you know, like engagement, I find, is an oxymoron when it comes to football, because I find the whole thing a farce. So my point being how we're treated as well, and I know like Steve Armstrong with UWS, last week I had to pick up my ticket at Palace and I had to take my passport because that's all I had, and I said, is this really like the way, like, to show my passport, because I'm going away in a couple of weeks, I don't want to be carrying a passport around with me. They said, well, that's the way we do it. I said, but you're asking me at a home game to have an app, so if the app's like identify game, we've got to do it. And I just thought, it goes to the, like, away stewards when I sell the mag.
Yeah.
Not the stewards who are around me now, but the away stewards. They're usually good. Do you know the worst ground I get treatment from? What have you got? And they go like, what's that? Like a crack. It's
like,
here.
What do you think it is?
And it's like,
it's
something in my fucking
pocket.
Well, yeah, of course, that's
never. It's always been like this, and it's almost like the club really resent the fact that they have to have supporters, and it baffles me.
But they've never gelled with that concept.
We're the greatest asset of the club. And it's like, come on. No,
right, so why am I here?
Get it out. Right, okay, Manchester Munich Memorial Foundation, we raise funds for underprivileged kids in Manchester, Belgrade and Munich and the rest of the North West, and we are having our gala dinner on the 18th of October. It will be here at the ground. It's 80 quid a head if you book on a table of 100. It's 85 if you come in as a single, and basically there'll be loads of prizes, auctions, brilliant special guests, another special surprise, 3-course meal, booze or not, whatever, and it's always a cracking night. We make loads of money for all of our great charities, and we would really like to see as many people there as possible.
And how do people get tickets?
You get in touch with us either via our Facebook page, which is Manchester Munich Memorial Foundation, you can search that, or MMM Foundation 118. I've got distracted now. It's mmmfoundation18@gmail.com. Drop us an email, say who you are, say how many of you are coming, and we'll sort out the rest for you. Also, on the night, there will be the draw for sort of, it's like parent and child, or sort of grandparents and child, or whatever, to come to Munich and to read out the names next year. So please go and have a look at our website, which is www. mmmf.co.uk, and it's right there on the front page as to how you enter into that. So if you've got a kid that I think it's like over 13, you know, you've got to be careful to come and read out the names and be part of the memorial itself, then please get in touch with us, and
this,
we want as many people as possible.
It's
mad important, because again, what we're talking about, the identity of the club, the identity of the team, and it's like so much of it emanates from that, from the youth, from the fact that I think a lot of people forget that people died for that shirt, and to see people not trying is really, really upsetting. But it's about galvanising that, making sure that the younger generation do not forget what our roots are, do not forget the club itself, to not forget our history, because it is mad important, and this is part of the reason why United are the greatest club in the world.
Brilliant. Prediction today?
I like your man who was saying 2-1, although I did say it would be 1-all in the last minute, so let's go with 2-1,
right.
Fuck it.
And thank you, Melissa.
Thank you, Ben.
And to everyone listening, there's a few whose parents are poorly, and a couple sadly have passed away, and you're in our thoughts. All right, take care, everyone.